All right, guys, welcome back to MGM Marketabilities. We got rid of Angie because if you guys do not remember from the last few episodes, she has just been, you know, just very loud about how big the studio is. Mm-hmm. And although we are very proud of how big the studio is, we need to move on to more pertinent information that I know that you guys want to hear about, which is relative to marketing.
And she tends to like kind of disappear and go off on her own missions. Like, you know, I think right now she's in Guantanamo Bay doing something, but like, you know, you never know with her, but yeah. But I think today, you know, there's never a better time to talk about, you know, these big corporate companies and what they're doing. 'Cause we move in the time that we're in right now, I feel like marketing's on such a spectrum and advertising is on such a spectrum. It's changing every single day. Yeah. But there's certain things that hold true from, you know, brand to brand, from year to year.
Yeah.
And so basically what we're going to go over today is the top five most successful marketing campaigns of all time, statistically.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting because with a lot of these lists, I feel like there's room to like not know something, like, you know, like you might not identify this, but I'm sure that everyone listening to this, and me and you as well, you and I, we'll both, you know what these things are.
Like, oh, for sure. Yeah.
So the first one is the Snickers "You're Not You When You're Hungry" commercial. And when I think of this, like, or the campaign, I think of whenever the guy was in the tattoo shop and he was getting it, like, are you sure you want this? I forget who didn't get the Snickers. I think it was the tattoo artist, but she put like no regrets instead of no regrets.
That's
like,
right.
Messed it up. But I mean, that's so memorable because I'm still talking about it to this day. And I saw a commercial in like 2016.
Yeah. Well, and it's so funny because it's like, I think the reason it was so good is because it actually is relatable. Like whenever you do get hungry, you actually like get a little annoyed at everybody.
Definitely.
You start to get like a little, like you start to react a
you
little
change,
bit quicker.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. And like you especially notice that too, like all the memes about like, you know, once you feed your girlfriend, her attitude changes.
Oh, dude. So true. So true. Like night and day, a different person. You know? Hangry is a very real emotion.
It really is.
Yeah. And I think they kind of capitalized on that.
They did. And also, just shout out to Snickers. I think they're like one of the most delicious candy bars.
You like Snickers?
In my opinion, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, well, that's my dad's favorite candy, but like, I don't like regular Snickers so much. I like their ice cream Snickers, like the ones that you put. Yeah, those go crazy.
That's a next level Snickers.
Oh, dude, for sure. I like, talking about candy bars, but I like Reese's Cups a lot, man.
Oh, well, of course.
That's like a home run every time, but like I get sick at Easter from those things.
I thought they did such a good, like in all their commercials, they did such a good way of portraying the person of the before and after they ate the Snickers bar.
Dude, did you see the one with Betty White? They had Betty White in a commercial.
I don't know if I remember that
one. And she got sacked by a football player.
Like, I do remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's super memorable. Yeah. How did I forget that?
I don't know.
Dude.
That was a good one.
That's like super impressive, honestly, because...
Yeah, because I mean, Betty White could take him.
Well, yeah, totally. Betty White has a mean stiff arm, but
she does,
but dude, I think the thing to take away from this is like, you know, you can hire all the talent you want, you can hire like these faces of the industry, and like that's only one piece of the puzzle. I think what they did is they took these bigger names, and I'm sure that guy getting tattooed in the tattoo parlor was somebody super notable from like the 90s or 80s that I just don't know about.
Sure.
But they took them and then they added a new element to their character, like something like funny, and they really did something with them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just be lazy and be like, oh, I'm blah, 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 here's XYZ.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's not memorable. And that's wasted money you could have capitalized on.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I think two of the best things that they did for that was it was very relatable and it was funny. Like they made some really funny commercials about it with the bold Betty White thing. And there were several other ones that it was very comical, which made you want to watch it.
Yeah.
And then if you wanted to watch it, then you would end up wanting a Snickers bar.
Dude, yeah, like there's some commercials.
Or it's like a subconscious thing, and now that I think about it, is like whenever you do get hungry or a little hangry, mm-hmm. you're going to relate back to that commercial and be like, oh, I'll just grab a Snickers bar because it satisfies the hunger.
Dude, yeah, even subconsciously, ooh, that's yeah, good. It's like good. It all ties in together, yeah. But like, I mean...
Now I want a Snickers bar.
Yeah, I do too. Now I'm thinking about candy. Now I'm thinking about candy. But anyway, moving on to the next one. I think that this one is really cool because I don't actually have like any reference of time for when this started happening. But the number four spot is held by Coke whenever they came in and did. And Coke's always been huge. Top. It's not even like they needed a real revelation, but they ended up having one.
Yeah.
When they decide to put a bunch of names on the Coke bottles. And I think that was like, I don't know, like the idea behind it was to kind of relate to everyone. Like, you know, obviously they're not gonna have any crazy names, but it's like, here's John, Mark, Luke, you know, all the names in the Bible.
I was
but,
gonna say, you just went straight through the
Dude, the I Bible feel like there. The Bible names are the most like used. They're like a lot of them. Maybe not like Saul or what is it? Saul? Is it?
Yeah, Saul. Saul's one of them. Yeah.
Saul, mm-hmm. not Saul.
No.
I used to always think it was Saw.
Wow.
Dude, I was thinking like Jigsaw was in the Bible, dude.
You used to think my name was Wrinkler?
Dude, I did. I'm so bad with names, man. Like, I'm not bad with names. I'm bad with spelling and saying it in my head. Like, I skip letters when I'm, or add letters, I guess. Wrinkler, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway, yeah, but I remember the first time I went into like a Rhodes 101 or whatever. Is that what it's called? The gas station?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I went in there and I was probably like 13 or, you know, 12, whatever I was. And I was like, I saw my name on a Coke bottle and I was like, oh, no way. They got Wyatt. Like, that's super rare. Yeah. Like, I'm going to take this home.
You had to buy it.
I'm going to drink it. Yeah. And then I'm also going to display it on my shelf in my house. You know, and that's like another layer to it is like, now you're putting a Coke bottle like for everyone to see and like think about.
Yeah.
But I think that was like the best way of, you know, instead of wasting money on a promotion, like maybe like put in artwork from a movie or a show or whatever.
Yeah.
You just put somebody's name on it. And they're like, oh, I named that. Like, this is a destiny moment. Like, this Coke bottle is for me. But I mean, shoot, man.
Yeah. See, so two things that I see that was so clever with that is it almost made you, if you found one of somebody's name, like your friend or something, it's like you got them a personal gift. But it was just a freaking can of Coke.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything special, but it created a more like, but like if you went to the store and you had the choice between Pepsi, RC, whatever the competition is, and then a Coke that had that person's name on it, you're going to buy the Coke.
No brainer.
Because it makes it more personal.
No brainer.
You know what I mean?
And special. Like,
yeah,
it's a special thing. It's not like, not all of these are packaged the same.
Right.
This was specially crafted.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the other thing is what you said, like you're going to take it home. You're going to leave it on display. So this is what this is going to do is you're going to look at that at your own home over and over again. It's that subconscious thing. And you're going to see Coke and then you're going to start craving Coke again, if you like it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to buy it more just because you see it more. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's how our brains work.
It is.
And then another layer to that is if you take like photos of yourself or videos in your house or something, and it's in the background all the time and people are watching those videos and they see the Coke can, it's another subconscious layer of people seeing more Coca-Cola. And guess what? They're not paying a dime for any of that advertising.
That has layers to it. That is a multi-level marketing scheme. You know what I'm saying? That's so smart. Not number one, man?
That's
intelligent.
It's very smart.
Dude, but like I think probably the inspiration for it was some guy was probably like the head of marketing at Coke or whatever. Mm-hmm. He probably walked into a gas station in Florida with his family on vacation and saw like that turn thing, like it's a magnetic frame.
Oh yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
it turns and it has all these magnets. It's like,
oh, it has the names on it.
Little Sally Jane, Mike Lawrence, just like the random name. And it's like, oh, that's me. That's my name, mommy. And it's like, dude, he was like, oh my God, I just had to put this on a Coke bottle and people will buy it. Like they don't even have to like Coke. They just have to like their name and they'll buy it. But yeah, I mean, that's just, stroke of brilliance, man. All right,
what's number three?
Stroke of brilliance. So number three. Okay, so this was actually not by a company specifically. It was by an entire state. The state of California, actually.
Okay.
So this was actually in 1993, back when drinking milk was considered crucial to bone growth and
health in general.
Yeah. And like, if you drank milk, you're going to be Superman, whatever. That's what I was told. I then got fat off milk fat, I think. And that's probably the Oreos. But I think that, like, I think over time it's developed to this narrative where it's like, you know, you need soy milk or... You know, it's there's more research indicating that like cow's milk isn't as good for you as you know, we think it is today. But back then it was seen as like this big thing. So they like states would make pushes to like really encourage the drinking of milk. Like even in schools, like that's the options. Like you have water, and then you have chocolate milk, strawberry milk, and vanilla milk.
Yeah.
Or is it vanilla or is it just milk?
Oh, it's just milk.
It's just milk.
You said vanilla, and I was just like, and I was like, wait, no.
Yeah, no, I thought about that. Yeah. I was like, it's just milk, flavor. Yeah. But anyway, so they came out with this campaign called Got Milk, which was, I'm sure everybody remembers, because I was even seeing it. I can't believe it came out that long ago. I feel like I've seen it in 2010.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, they definitely continued it, but they didn't hit it as hard. Like, it was, whenever they first came out with it, it was nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, the milk mustache is iconic. I guess it's always been, but like that was a stroke of genius to really be like, oh, look at this little silly guy with the little milk mustache. Right. Like, let's throw him up and, you know, put Got Milk with just... You know, I don't, what does that even mean, Got Milk? Do you have milk in your fridge? Like, is that?
I don't know. That's actually a good question, but people would say it. Like, people would like reference to it, like, Got Milk.
It says approximately 350 milk mustache ads nationally in print and on TV.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the celebrity influence was at an all time high in use. So they used. They used a couple people, but I think the one that I actually really remember, I'm not sure if, do you follow the NBA at all or have
not,
ever?
Not much.
Do you remember when the Warriors were really good a few years ago, like Steph Curry?
And,
yeah. Klay Thompson was like their other guy. He's like the Splash Bros. That's what Steph Curry and him were called. But he did this commercial where he was like doing a bunch of crossovers under a bridge in Oakland, California, which this all makes sense now. Because like he was playing for the Bay Area in California, and California ran this campaign. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I thought it was like a global thing. But he did a bunch of crossovers, hit a little three under the bridge, and then the net like splashed up and it was like milk. And I was like, wow, that is cool. Like, I'm gonna go drink a gallon of milk right now. But yeah, and then you know it only got more dangerous when they moved into the chocolate milk mustaches, man.
Oh gosh,
because I'm a sucker for chocolate milk, man. Yeah, let me tell you,
I think we all are.
Yeah, I'm looking for. Yeah, no, like even it's saying here, like even like classes in college now are requiring that they like case study this.
Really?
Yeah, like every class for. Marketing communications research. I guess I'll probably see that, but everyone's looking at that for insight, and that makes sense because that's iconic.
It is, yeah.
Now this is the one that I'm not super familiar with, and I guess this was kind of a way back to get back at Coke, but it's a Pepsi Okay. Is Pepsi Okay campaign? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that as well as the Coke one. The Coke one for me was way more memorable.
Oh, it's got like, they used Steve Carell. I know all these names. Cardi B, Lil Jon. Man, when did this happen? Oh, okay. They have a Pepsi Rookie of the Year award. Okay, now I get it. I've seen that trophy a couple times. And like, I guess the gist behind this, it was like, it's better than average. Is Pepsi okay? Like Pepsi is one better than Coke and RC. That brings me back. RC, I feel like that's like, is that still being made? Or
absolutely. It
really?
Is. Yeah. I still see it all the time.
Are you an RC guy? Like you go to.
So there's only a few sodas that like I really ever drink, and it's Mr. Pibb and Ski. Those are the two.
That's interesting.
Two. Yep.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
I like Mr. Pibb a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I like it more than Dr. Pepper. I think that's a hot take, though.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that.
No.
People are going to come after you.
You think so?
Yeah, because, it is way better than Dr. Pepper.
Dude, and people, like...
Dr. Pepper is trash.
People will kill over Dr. Pepper, too, dude. Like, they don't play.
No, they really don't.
Have you ever met someone who's, like, super passionate about Dr. Pepper?
Dude, instead of coffee, they will drink Dr. Pepper in the morning.
Yeah, like...
It's crazy.
No.
Yeah.
Like, not that much. Like, imagine liking a drink so much where you're just, like... You know, I'm willing to lay it all down for this. Like if you say that this other thing named the same thing, or named a different thing but tastes the same, it's better. Then like I'm coming for you. Like I'm gonna be knocking at your door. But I think that's what they played off of. They said, "Is Pepsi okay?" Which is pretty much implying like, is Pepsi just okay or is it better than average? And when you phrase it like that, it's kind of like saying. You know, it's better than Coke and RC and
Dr.
Diet flamethrower or whatever Walgreens has. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, off-brand stuff. Yeah. That's where I draw the line maybe a little bit. It's like Dr. Thunder Ridge.
I just don't drink enough soda to even get there.
Dude, I'm a big diet soda guy. I can't justify drinking like regular, but.
No.
Yeah.
All right. What's number one?
Okay. The big finale. Yeah. Just do it, guys. Just do it.
Oh, yeah.
From Nike
still
themselves.
Still iconic.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody's heard those words, like, just do it.
Well, it's because it's like, honestly, it's some of the best advice. Like, it's some of the best wisdom. Usually, in most points in our life, and even in your marketing, you're like, what should I do next? Or more so, it's like, should I try this next? Or I know I need to do this, like, but I'm, you know, not sure if this is right. It's like, just do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, those are
and
good,
so
good
it's,
words of
it's,
advice
it's
to live
so
by.
It's so relatable to almost every area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just need to take action.
Just do it.
And
that sounds like it can be applied to just about anything that you were to possibly be dealing with at any point ever. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're scared to do it, but, like, step off the ledge and do it. And, like, Nike's whole thing is, like, athletics.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know... Take that extra step, you know, just.
Well, it's just people like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't want to run today.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
You
put on their shoes and just do it.
Dude, they were, but that's what, you know, that was what Nike used to. Okay. Now it makes more sense that you just said that because they launched this in 1988.
And wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how long the campaign's been around. But in 1988, they were, Nike, I watched a whole documentary on it. Nike was a running shoe only company. Like they only bought,
I didn't know that either.
Only were sponsored by runners, but running wasn't, I mean, running still
it wasn't
isn't.
A big thing.
Well, I don't think
at
like
that,
Olympic.
At that time.
Yeah. I still think, I don't even think running's that big. Like, I mean, everybody runs, but.
Competitive running is still not that exciting.
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's not watch. Like, I mean, I can name Usain Bolt, Noah Lyles, and then that's like it.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know anybody else.
Yeah, no, but then they made that's what, I mean, I guess this was another part of the just do it thing because whenever they started branching off into making basketball shoes, which was huge, that was the smartest decision ever. And they were so hesitant on that because like Nike was based out of Oregon and the whole thing behind Oregon was just runners and like track people.
Well, it's like a perfect place to run out there.
It's probably really scenic.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But now like they took the turn. They're like, okay, we're not getting enough traction. Who do we throw our money to? And then like, I don't know who he is. The president or whatever of Nike.
I don't know, it
was played by Ben Affleck. So I picture Ben Affleck when I'm talking about this, but they were like, he was like, we need to get like the number one runner in the world. And it's like, okay, well his budget's like, I forgot what it was, like 50 million. Mm-hmm. And then this other guy underneath him was like, no, that's dumb. Like there's like these rookies coming in the NBA. We can have five of them for like 50 million.
Oh wow.
And then one of them turned out to be Jordan.
Yep.
But
his mom worked out the most incredible deal that anybody could ever work.
Yeah. He needed a percentage every year of like the Jordan sales. So like, cause she knew that he was
even now he gets paid hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
Every year.
And like, it's continuously scaling. So it kind of beats like the inflation that would have been like, you know, on him if he were to accept like an upfront money deal.
Yeah, right.
I think he still got upfront money.
Yeah. He still got several million up front, but the percentage, man, it was killer. And yeah, so like, but it's just, that's like, that's the most iconic thing. And it's really helped them because shoes are for everybody. Like everybody has to wear shoes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially like in our country, in a first and second world country, everybody has shoes, you know? And so if you create some sort of campaign or slogan that just literally can relate to anybody in any part of their life, like Just Do It, like, you know, cause it's like, if you're contemplating starting your business, like just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're contemplating, like, I have to go apologize to my wife, like just go do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's, but it, cause it's just anything. Yeah. Like, it's like, man, I'm really struggling with, you know, anxiety and depression. I need to go see a counselor. Just go do it.
Yeah. It's,
you know, like it's literally anything.
Yeah. It's stepping off the ledge and just like trusting yourself, you know, cause like, I mean, anything worthwhile is really scary. Like truthfully.
Yeah, dude. I read something the other day is like, cause we all have bad days. Like we're all going to have a bad day. And it's just the price that you pay to have good days. Mm-hmm. And that reframe for me was so good. So it's like, anytime you have a bad day, just be like, well, I mean, this is what I get for, you know, this is what I have to pay to have a good day, to have a good time, is you have to pay the price, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes the price is a rough time. Definitely. And it's hard and it sucks, but that's not how tomorrow may be. You know, if you get through the suck, then you're, you're good.
Yin and yang, man. There's give and take to absolutely everything. And I think that the bad days kind of put in perspective how good those good days are. You know what I'm saying? Like if every day was amazing and you never bat an eye at anything, it'd just be average.
You'd be bored.
Yeah. Life, honestly, man.
You'd be bored.
Life would be pretty boring without like the rainy days or like, you know, because then it's like, oh, what am I trying for if like everything's going to be perfect every time? That's like,
yeah, exactly. You would lose your motivation because we are like hardwired to try the next thing. Mm-hmm. And so bringing it back to marketing is campaigns can revolutionize your business, obviously.
Definitely.
Like it doesn't matter what, you know, industry you're in. It doesn't, you know, something like a campaign slogan like Just Do It can literally take your business so far.
Definitely.
But that's also to say, going back to what we just said, is like, it's okay to have a failed campaign or what you would quote on a failed campaign, like something, it just didn't work. And that's okay because now you know that campaign won't work. Exactly. So you can move on to the next one and you can find you're one less away from, you know, you're fighting the one that works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all an uphill battle,
yeah.
You know, but I don't consider any of that to be a loss. You know, losses are only losses if you don't learn from them. You know what I'm saying?
So good.
Like, if you don't grow from those things, then that's the only time you ever really take an L, because otherwise, like, you're just going to school, man. Like, you're in school.
You're learning to learn.
Yeah. I mean, you're learning. Like, it's those people who take those L's and make them W's at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's good.
But like, that's the only way to look at it, because if you don't, like, you'll get ate alive.
Yeah.
You will 100, like, you cannot make it in this world by being like, yo, like, I fell on my butt today. Like, I'm calling it in. No, you got to be like, okay, here's what I did wrong. Here's what I'm gonna do better next time. Mm-hmm. I took this away from that loss.
Right.
You know, I've been shown the correct way to do things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna study harder next time before I go and do this.
Yeah.
You know, but at least at the end of the day, you did it.
Yeah. And that's actually a big like part of marketing, is you have to just try something, see if it works. If it doesn't work, cool. Like, okay, now let's try something else. Let's try something new. You know what I mean? Exactly. And I feel like you just need to treat it almost like a fun little game. Where it's like, oh, this didn't, like, you're playing a video game and you're trying to beat some type of boss or something. And you're like, okay, like, this didn't work. I'll try something else.
You gotta go get more gear or whatever.
You just keep trying it until it works. Mm-hmm. And then when it does work, you can freaking rejoice and throw a party and then move on to the next challenge.
It makes it worth it.
Dude. Yeah.
It makes it so much worth it. Like, I think the hard work, you know, can sometimes be more fun than even the final destination
point. Oh, for sure.
Dude, it's because it's like, that's so, there's so much.
Well, I think it needs to be for you to actually want to trudge through it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the point of having a goal is really just to have something to create the habits that you need to get the goal. But the goal is irrelevant. It's really about, you know, training yourself to act differently in, you know, towards something bigger than yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a building game, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's drawing board after drawing board. And like, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to go through it, you know, 150 more times in this next year.
For sure.
Before, like, I really get that big win. But, you know, it's just, like, you really only lose when you give up, when you throw the towel in, and, like, just don't. Like, there's no point of stopping trying. There's no point. Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense to, you know, because at that point, then those losses really materialize. Like, those are really losses. He's like, oh, you know, I've thrown enough losses at him that, like, he's like, oh, now I'm done. Now I'm stuck in the mud. Right. It's like, dude, you took those losses, but, like, those can be wins very shortly once you prove they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Correct.
Like, it's never a loss until it's done. So you take your last breath. That's when it's a loss. But up until that point, I believe that anyone can recover from anything, and like, destiny is yours to kind of draw up.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
There's nothing set in stone, man. Like, there's lower places to start than others, and there's more obstacles in the way for some people than others, but really it's all mental.
It is. Yeah.
100%. Even with your campaign, man.
Yep. Even with your marketing. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Nike didn't let anyone stop them.
No, they didn't. They just kept going.
There you go.
Even with the amount of haters that they have.
We can be Nike.
We could.
Yeah. Just marketing, I guess.
We just need to do it.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Get some growing media shoes. How about that?
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. I'd be okay with that.
Dude, that's gonna be hard.
All right, cool. Thank you guys for checking out the podcast. If you guys have any topics you guys want us to talk on, or anything, or a guest that you want us to have on, just drop a comment. That'd be awesome. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the places.
Newspaper, carrier pigeon.
We are not in those places.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
My bad.
No. The pigeons didn't stay long live enough. Okay. Anyways, we really.
Is that what happened to my pigeons?
All right. So thank you guys again. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.